Well, as we get started this morning, a reminder, we're continuing our sermon series in this Easter season on hope. And each week as we do this in our Good Shepherd app in the sermon notes section, we'll have 5 days of devotional readings and Bible verses. So I encourage you to check that out throughout the week and let the Lord speak to you throughout the week. So as we start today, though, with our gospel reading, we hear Jesus' final command. In that space between Easter and Pentecost, he speaks it from the mountaintop to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. And now I want to pause for a second and ask a question. When you hear this, go make disciples, what comes to mind? I'm guessing for a lot of us, we can think of some ways in which we've seen that play out that are good and maybe some not so good ways, right? I think so today I kind of want to name that and take some time to reclaim, rediscover, what did Jesus mean by make disciples? What does he mean by that? And what does that mean for us? You know, when I first started out in ministry many years ago, I was 24 years old when I got my first full-time job in ministry. It was youth ministry, and I got a job at a really large Lutheran church up in the Twin Cities area outside St. Paul, Roseville Lutheran Church. I was really excited to share my faith with young people and walk with them as they discovered what it meant to follow Jesus. And we had this incredible, huge youth ministry program for which I can take zero credit. I was just one team member for a short time in this big staff. And one of the things that was unique is we had a couple larger high schools near us. And so kids would invite their friends. And so on Wednesday nights when our church was full of youth, it was a lot of kids who'd grown up in the church and were already like seeking to follow Jesus in their lives, and then this other mix of kids who really didn't know what this church, this faith stuff was about at all. And one of the things we did every year with our high school group is we would take a ski trip to Colorado. We would drive all the way from Minneapolis, St. Paul to Colorado on a ski trip, which I know sounds kind of strange to us, but you have to remember back then, high school kids had this commodity called free time that they don't have anymore. Also, it might sound strange to us as St. Louisans, but Minnesotans have this strange thing where they like to be outside when it's really cold in the winter, and they think that's fun. I don't understand it. But they love to ski, and so these two parents every year would chaperone and coordinate it. They love to ski. The dad was an EMT, and the mom was a nurse, so we were in good hands if anything should happen. And we would drive our shuttle bus from our church from Minnesota to the skiing out in Colorado. And yes, we had a shuttle bus, you know, like those airport shuttles that get you from that parking lot to the terminal. We had one of those repurposed and rebranded for our church. It said Roseville Lutheran Church in big bold letters on the side. So anywhere we went, we were spreading the gospel in style. And we drove, I'm 24 years old, I'm driving this thing out there. We pull up to a stoplight in Denver, Colorado. And there's a homeless person standing next to us with one of those signs. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, I'm hungry, please help, God bless. And going through my mind are all the things that you go through in that moment. Should I roll down the window and talk to them? Should I give them something? Should I not? The light's going to turn green. You know, all the feelings. And I look in the rearview mirror and the high school kids are kind of looking and kind of talking and wondering too. And then the light changes, so I start to drive ahead. And the dad behind me, though, he opens the window and he reaches his head out and he yells, get a job, as Roseville Lutheran Church bus drives by. Maybe not the best way to make disciples and share the love of Jesus. My eyes got about this big, and I look in the rearview mirror, and all the high school kids are sitting back there, what just happened? Full disclosure, we did have a conversation later, me and this dad, and I learned some history of why he had feelings about that, But you know, the point is this, we've all seen those moments, right? We've maybe ourselves or others where we haven't represented Jesus in the best way. And so we struggle, I think, sometimes with sharing our faith. But when I hear these words of Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. I mean, if everyone actually did that, if everyone lived by these words of Jesus, the things that he taught us, can you imagine what that world would look like? Virtually every problem in our world would be solved if everyone lived in the way that Jesus taught us to live. Love one another as I have loved you. Be merciful as my Father is merciful. Forgive one another. Bless those who curse you. Give to those in need, those who ask of you. Turn the other cheek. The list goes on and on, right? If everyone obeyed these commands, the world would be so different. So why then are we often hesitant to share our faith, to share about Jesus. Now, I know some of you are really good at this. Some of you do this very well. I confess, I'm hesitant. I'm shy about that sometimes. Why? Well, I think because of experiences like the dad on my youth trip or where maybe I've messed up. There have been so many times, so many people who have represented Jesus in less than ideal ways. And so I get worried. I'm afraid that my friends will think I'm one of those people if I start talking about faith or, you know, none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But I think we also have to be honest that there are many people who claim the title Christian whose words and actions have no resemblance to Jesus whatsoever, right? And when that's in the world, it's hard. I've seen far too many Christians in both modern times and throughout history who take these words of the Great Commission and turn them into something that I think is very different than what Jesus intended, as if making disciples is about judgment and fear or manipulation or power or force. Friends, in the words of Inigo Montoya from The Princess Bride, I do not think that word means what you think it means, right? If you haven't seen this movie, talk to me after. We'll get you hooked up. But seriously, I want to make this claim that I believe Jesus is calling all of us, you and me, all of us, to do this, to go and share and make disciples. So today we consider why we don't need to feel reluctant about that, but we can be excited about that. And today we reclaim what Jesus actually meant by these words rather than this kind of twisted, mixed up version we've sometimes seen in the world. And I think we wrestle with this though, right? And it's important to wrestle with it. You know, there's a time a while ago when some things were happening in the world where people claiming the title Christian were doing awful things. This has happened throughout my ministry, and when this happens, when people claiming to be Christians do hurtful, hateful things, I'll have people come up to me and say things like, Pastor Josh, if that's what it means to be Christian in the world today, I don't want to be associated with that. Maybe I shouldn't be Christian anymore. But here's the deal. When these things happen, that is not the time to be silent about the Jesus we know, about the Jesus in the Gospels. In fact, those are precisely the moments it's most important to tell a more beautiful story, to tell the story about a Savior whose love is unconditional, whose kindness is legendary, whose mercy and compassion is boundless. I refuse to sit silently by and allow others to take the name of Jesus and co-opt it for selfish gain to hurt or harm our fellow human beings. And what does Jesus mean by make disciples? So let's dive into that. First and foremost, to be a disciple is to be a learner, right? The Greek word for disciple literally translated means student. Turns out it doesn't mean be a rigid person who thinks you're always right and tell others there's wrong. It means be a learner. Be open to what Jesus is teaching us, being willing to be changed and formed by him always. To be a disciple, or to make a disciple, then is to help others encounter the love of Jesus, to experience that, to discover the joy of learning from him, of following him. It's not forcing someone to believe exactly as I believe. It's not getting more people on our team. Discipleship is never about force or manipulation. It's always about invitation. And to be a disciple is learning to do the things Jesus did, to live the way Jesus lived, to continually learn and grow in him, that by the power of the Spirit working in us, we too would grow in those Christ-like things of love and mercy, compassion and joy. It's discovering the life God created you to live, a life that's more meaningful and purposeful than we could ever imagine on our own. And isn't that what we want for the people in our lives that we know and love? That's the story we tell. That's what Jesus means by making disciples. So if that's what that means, then who is Jesus calling us to reach out to? Well, he said this, make disciples of all nations. You know, so short order, right? But when we hear this, I think this is part of where we can get tripped up in our modern cultural context, because there have been far too many times where Western culture has had this kind of ethnocentric view of itself that has blinded it to the distinction between the gospel of Jesus and one's own culture, right? Where spreading the gospel in the past has sometimes been like 50% Jesus stuff and 50% our own cultural ideals, as if the two are inseparable. And throughout history, even well-meaning Christians have done some harm because they've come across arrogant because they were taught to carry a gospel that was packaged up with their culture that said, our ways are the right ways. My culture is the right culture, right? But I would argue that Jesus' command here is actually the opposite of that. I mean, think about it. His command was to the disciples, all of whom were Jewish, and he's telling them to go to all nations. That means they needed to humble themselves to recognize that the gospel is not just for you. It's not just for your people, your language, your nation. The gospel is for every people, every nation, every culture. This God of love, this gift of life, this way of Jesus, it's beyond these human-made boundaries that we just love to draw. The way in which the church exists in the world will always be contextual in a space, but the gospel itself is always countercultural. It's always transcultural. Anytime the gospel starts to serve as a tool to promote one culture over and against another, it ceases to be the gospel. You with me so far? So we're called to go and make disciples to who? All nations, then how? Well, Jesus said this, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. To be a disciple is learning to obey all that Jesus taught. Not so that we can be a perfect person without flaws, but because that's the way God created us to live, the life God wants for us. Notice Jesus didn't say, teach them to obey some of the things I taught you, or teach them to obey the things that you like. Feel free to ignore the things that make you uncomfortable. He didn't say, teach them to post Bible verses in their social media bios and tell others they're wrong. He didn't say that. He said, teach them to obey, to live out the things that I taught you. To be a disciple, then, is to be obedient to Jesus. And so to recap, to be a disciple is to be a learner, allowing ourselves to be formed by Jesus. To be a disciple is to humbly realize that the gospel is for all peoples, all cultures, all nations. And to be a disciple is to be obedient to Jesus. So remember my claim earlier that Jesus is calling each of us to do this, to go and share our faith, to make disciples. But anyone else in here still feel a little overwhelmed by that? I know I do. Here's the thing. We have to remember what Jesus said. I am with you always. He doesn't send us out alone. He promises us the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is with us. But also, I think Jesus invites us to practice, to develop our skills and our capacity to share this, because in 1 Peter 3:15 it says this, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope that you possess. You know, so if someone asked you tomorrow, why are you a Christian? Why do you follow Jesus? Do you know what you would say? Friends, I literally had this happen to me a couple times, and I blew it. My answer was, let me think theologically about that. No, because I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't really practiced, right? And if you don't do that, you're not ready when the moment comes. So here's what I want to invite you to do this week. Practice. Practice talking about your faith with someone. Answer that question. Don't just think about it. Actually practice, maybe with a spouse, a family member, a friend, or in your Bible study or your small group. Take a minute to say, if someone said, why are you a Christian? What would you say? And practice it. Because here's the thing, for each of us, I guarantee that there will be Holy Spirit moments when God puts someone in your path who's ready to hear, and God says, hey, they need to hear my story. Go tell them about me. Go. And we want to be ready, right? So number one thing this week I'm challenging us to do is practice talking about it. Two is watching for those Holy Spirit moments. You know, sharing the gospel of Jesus, it isn't always about proactively going out in the world and seeking out someone that we have to tell. More often, in my experience, God puts me in a place or someone in my path that's ready and curious and wants to hear about God's love. The Holy Spirit leads us to those places, so we want to look for those and be ready for that. Here's the thing, one final thought, friends. In our culture today, in our world, in our information age, people are going to hear about Jesus, about what it means to be Christian one way or another. The question is, what version of Jesus are they going to hear about? Are they going to hear about a cultural Jesus that's about judgment or exclusion or my way or the highway, about power or manipulation? Or are they going to hear about a Jesus of unconditional love? The Jesus who humbled himself, who gave of himself, who gave his life for them, for you, for me, for the world. Are they going to hear about the kind of Jesus who makes space at his table for everyone? Friends, let's go and tell the world about this Jesus, this love that has changed our lives and continues to change our lives. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have come into our lives, into our hearts with your unbelievable love. You have forgiven us and made us new time and time again, Lord. Sometimes we're excited to share that and sometimes we're nervous, but God, we ask that your spirit would move in our lives. If there are people around us that need to experience your love, help us to be a part of that. Help us to share what you've done for us, that others might experience this boundless love and mercy in their own lives, where you bring healing and hope. God, we thank you and we commend ourselves to you in Jesus' name.